The Alabama Crimson Tide headed back to the Elite Eight for the first time in 20 years as Chris Stewart made that call on Crimson Tide Sports Network. Welcome into the Mean Streets Podcast Emergency Pod. William Galloway joined with Britton Johnson. Alabama defeated one seed North Carolina 89-87. BJ, hello and roll tide.
So glad we're getting able to, or we are able to record today. What a day. What a last 24 hours it's been. It really has felt like this is, I mean, it has, this has to be Oates' biggest win of his career. And it, not even just from the standpoint of what it is as a win, but what it feels like more than one win. It feels like that final door is kind of, and we got to knock down another one on Saturday, but that final door is finally getting knocked down right now. And, the only thing that was stopping Alabama from being a national power in terms of how it was perceived is the postseason success in the NCAA tournament. And now it's looking like we are trending towards that being a moot point because we'll have that success. So, unbelievable game, unbelievable toughness from the guys. I think this is the first team I've ever seen in my life that talked about, hey, we're going to start trying in defense in March and actually succeeding in that endeavor because we actually apparently can play defense. I thought this whole time we just legitimately could not, but I think we can. So, unbelievable game, and we'll obviously get into it a little bit. But like, I might have to name my firstborn Grant after what I saw last night.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to Daniel Kell because his firstborn son's name is Grant. And after the Anthony Grant era, we thought that name would be retired, but Grant Nelson has restored it to its highest form of glory in Alabama basketball lore. All right, so let's talk about him. I mean, the North Dakota State transfer, 24 points, 19 of which came in the second half. He had 12 rebounds, 5 blocks, and it's I've thought this was interesting, Britton, that you had, Ramadan Mo and Mo Diabate playing a fantastic game in the round of 32. Grant Nelson comes up big. So what's next for Alabama? Is it gonna be a Sam Walters legacy game? Mark Sears has cemented his legacy at Alabama. We're gonna need another 20 piece from him Saturday night in the Elite Eight game versus Clemson. But what to you stands out about this run, not only Grant's performance, but this run and having different players step up at different times?
Yeah, I mean, I was going through after the game last night and thinking through who all stepped up. And I think every person that stepped up on the court, except for Waggy, and that's not a diss at him. That's just kind of, he didn't play a lot of minutes and didn't exactly have the best run when he was in. Every single other player stepped in and stepped up and made big plays. And I mean, that goes down to Sam Walters. Sam Walters hit a three that felt really big at the time and played really strong defense that I don't know if he was capable of at the beginning of the year. You can talk about Ryland Griffin having the defensive performance of his life last night. Then on top of that, having 19 points in a really big game and hitting big shots. Mark Sears doing what he does. Pringle playing on a bruised heel, coming in and just gutting out those last few minutes, refusing to lose that game. And then obviously you get to Grant Nelson. And he was everything and more that I thought he would be when he first arrived in Tuscaloosa. And I don't know how much of that's just confidence or what, but he was just playing with a different juice and swagger last night that I frankly really haven't seen all year. It was really, really encouraging. I mean, some of those reverse layups were unbelievable and obviously hit some big threes and it was clutch on the free throws, except for the last two, but we didn't need those. But then also his defense was awesome. And I think a lot of that goes to the way that Nate kind of schemed the game up because what they did a lot is they put Grant on the non-Baycott big or the non-shooting player on the floor that was not Armando Baycott. And then that way it wasn't a one-on-one matchup between them two. And then they would have Grant double from the top side a lot as soon as Baycott would get a catch and get into his post move. And I thought it was a brilliant scheme, and obviously it burned us a couple times early because they had a couple of their non-shooters in Cadeau and Trimble hit some threes, but we stayed the course, we trusted the game plan, and I thought it was a brilliant game plan. And honestly, when you get to the end of this game, we are talking about different guys that have stepped up player-wise, What this also was a coaching masterclass by Nate Oates. This entire run's been a coaching masterclass by Nate Oates, and he has cemented himself. I think I was saying in a text exchange with some guys that, like, if take away whatever subjective feelings you feel about any coaches or anything, if you were to make an objective list of who is the top get as a head coach in college basketball right now, if you were to start a program and say, I can get anybody I want, who are you choosing? I think number one's probably Dan Hurley. I mean, he's coming off a national title. He's the number one overall seed. Number two is probably Nate Oates. In the entire country. And I really have a hard time thinking of how it wouldn't be him, frankly. You could say one of the guys that's been there, done that before. But those guys, I feel like, are all a little older. Like, you're getting Nate Oates when he's on the ascent right now. And I'm hoping Alabama keeps him for a very long time. Super, super proud of everybody and everything that went into that win, because that was just a program-defining win.
Hey, let's, on top of that, I really appreciate that insight. Let's debunk the myth that this Alabama run is the result of an easy draw. You've beaten College of Charleston, right? And that's a 4-13 game. Charleston's coach goes and gets hired by Louisville, right? So you advance. Grand Canyon has an upset. You play Grand Canyon. And then you're playing a one seed North Carolina. You've got Clemson coming up to qualify for the Final Four. I don't appreciate, I don't understand, and I don't in any form validate the take that this is an easy run, right? Auburn ran through, and that's obviously coming from Auburn fans because they want to justify their feelings for losing in the first round to a Yale team in which they really fumbled the bag and should have won in that 5-12 matchup. But Alabama, with the draw this year, sure, Auburn played a lot of blue bloods in 2019, but Alabama, I mean, this team, what they were a month ago versus what they are now, you cannot discredit what College of Charleston brought to the table in terms of having a high-octane offense. You had a physical battle against in the round of 32 against Grand Canyon, and then you had just a monumental task stopping Armando Bacot, RJ Davis, the guy from UNC who also caught fire, who played against Alabama when he was at Notre Dame. What's blanking on the name right now? But
Cormac Ryan,
who, by the way, is 23 days younger than I am, and I've had a full-time job for nearly 3 years. Cormac Ryan needs to go sell insurance or something. It's time for him to move on. But, Britton, I don't like this discussion and this topic that this is a cakewalk draw for Alabama. That's just not the case whatsoever.
Well, you know, there is reality, not to the criticism, but to the fact that March in large part is matchups. Like, how far you go in is somewhat dependent on matchups. That's not saying easy, hard draw. A 1-4 seed could be a better draw for one team than another just because of style and style of play. What has impressed me tremendously about this run so far is that Alabama's had to win games in three different styles. The first game was an absolute boat race of a game. Second game was a physical defensive game. And now you get into this UNC game, which had a little bit of both, and you had to have your best on both sides in order to go far. But the reality of March is this. I think that March Madness is the most fun postseason tournament in any sport, any capacity, however you want to look at it. It's also maybe the worst at deciding the best team in the country because of the uncertainty of it. And so I think this team is playing its best basketball right now. That's why they can go as far as they want. But I think you would find very few Alabama fans that would try to argue that this Alabama team is better than last year's, right? And I don't think that's the end-all be-all of it, but it is just kind of funny that if you just knock on the door enough, and if you're just there enough, and you get the right crack one time, you might be able to break through. And this might be the team to break through. And it's just kind of the nature of it. I will say this. It's amazing that 2 weeks ago today, we were getting throttled by Florida in the SEC championship game. Every single Alabama fan, every single SEC fan who's watching this Alabama team was probably saying, this Alabama team's dead. They're done. They're trending in the wrong direction. I don't know what happened between the fall, I guess that Saturday and the Thursday or Friday in which they played the first round game, there needs to be some kind of documentary on it, because their ability to turn it around and not just get back to playing good ball, but the best ball of the season. And I don't think it's even really debatable. That was the best, most well-rounded game they played all year. And mind you, without Latrell Wrightsell, who's been Alabama's second or third best player all year. And, you know, some schools in this state, the second that a player goes down, they say, well, we would have won by 20 without him or with him, and he's the reason, him not being there is the reason we lost. Alabama didn't make excuses like that school might. They said, you know what, we're playing a number one seed. It doesn't matter. And they buckled down and they played their best game of the year. And just so proud of them. Like, I don't know how else to really describe it. It was a real feeling of elation. I'm sure everyone who's listening to this podcast feels that and understands that. Like, when you just, I guess it really probably started when it was 0.6 seconds, and then Grant missed both. So you kind of freaked out for half a second and he blocked it. But it's cool to see this program that so many people have invested in for years and years to finally kind of, it feels like, and I'm saying the mountaintop as if the elite, the mountaintop, but we've kind of broken that glass ceiling. And what I know about Oates is what we were saying about Stanford last week or the week before is the first one is the hardest to do. It's the hardest to break through that first time. And so just as I expect Stanford to be a regular visitor to the NCAA tournament and a regular conference champion, I also expect this Alabama program, this is not going to be the last time they're playing on a weekend in the second weekend. They, you know, it's, I'm not going to say it's going to happen every year, but we're going to be there. And you look at the guys hopefully returning and the guys coming in, it's like, talent-wise, we'll be right there next year. And so I think you're going to see Alabama begin to stack it, because they're going to keep getting these Sweet 16s and then just have chance after chance at it. So, I think this is the first, and it's most certainly not the last. And I am so excited for this group to have done it, because I'm going to be honest. I picked them for my Final Four, so I definitely wouldn't count them as dead and gone. But it felt a little bit like they were dead and gone. Yeah, I picked the tie to get the Final Four. I feel great about it right now. I cannot imagine what being a naysayer that picked them to lose earlier than that would be like right now.
You're certainly in a good spot, and I wouldn't know anybody that didn't pick Alabama to win early. Certainly wouldn't have a conversation with those people in the mirror when I wake up in the morning post Sweet 16 victory. Let's go to the Clemson game. Alabama played Clemson earlier this season in what Jay Williams called a tennis match. It was an 8:30, I think it was a Tuesday night game in Tuscaloosa. Just a horrible time to have a basketball game on 8:30 on a Tuesday night in November. But 85-77, Alabama got bested by the Tigers. If you're looking at Alabama and Clemson as a program, two teams that obviously are in completely different places than they were 3 to 4 months ago. But in that game for Clemson, PJ Hull had 21, Joseph Girard the third had 16, Chase Hunter had 15. Alabama, like I said, they gave up 32 points in the paint. It was kind of a back and forth game. There were six lead changes. Sears, of course, had a 20 piece. Estrada, Grant Nelson, kind of the way they're playing now, where they're leading scorers. But that game is not any term or any indication of what Saturday night's game could be. There are certainly sets and play calls and things that you're still going to run, but the two teams in the development over the last couple months are going into this Saturday night matchup at the Crypto.com arena with a whole different approach than they did in late November.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things that I think anyone who watched that game, which you're a real Tide Hoops fan, if you were watching that game, it was like an 8:30 tip. It was where the whole Jay Williams, this place sounds like a tennis match right now, started. It was a tough game. They outplayed us for 40 minutes. I'm not going to sugarcoat that at all. I think if anyone who's looking at Clemson and saying, this is an easy win, we're going to go to the Final Four, A, you haven't watched March Madness. B, this team walked into our house and beat us. And, you know, they're one of, two teams have done it all year, and the other one's Tennessee. And So this team is not to be discounted. They're really good. PJ Hall's fantastic. They're going to be physical, and we gotta step up on the rebounding. We gotta step up defensively. Pringle's gotta have another great game. Grant's gotta have another great game. Our front line has to play great. I expect our guards to play great, but they're gonna have to step up too. It's there for us though. People were asking me about the game. I was like, it's definitely losable, but it's definitely winnable as well. And I like the matchup, frankly. I like that matchup better than I like the Arizona one, which isn't just a super hot take, seeing that Arizona's the 2 seed. But we gotta play great. We're gonna have to play every bit as good tomorrow as we did yesterday, and we were banged up by the end of yesterday. So we'll see how we can respond. But certainly, I think if you're an Alabama player in that locker room, you see Clemson, you say, "Yeah, they beat us, but I feel good about the matchup." And certainly, if you're a Clemson player in the locker room and you see Alabama, you're saying, "I've seen this team before. We're confident going in. We're going to win this game." So it's games like that that are fun because both teams really go in with a good confidence that they can win the game. But it's going to take everything we have and more. And on the other side of it, though, is immortality, which is kind of the place they're already in. But a Final Four would be unforgettable. And just, I mean, I don't know about you. I would consider making some rash decisions in terms of purchasing some plane tickets if we're able to pull it out Saturday.
I will never financially recover from going to Salt Lake City, and I think I'm buying a couch on Monday. And so I might have to sit on the couch, which I buy, and watch that game. But regardless, it would be very tempting if it were any closer than Phoenix to go to the Final Four. Looking at the Sweet 16, I think this is an interesting thing as we kind of wrap up here. This is a, as we said, Emergency Mean Streets podcast. Clemson, Arizona, Creighton, Tennessee, Purdue, all teams Alabama saw in the regular season qualified for the Sweet 16, right? Alabama has had the home and home with Houston in recent years. The same with, the games versus Purdue, Creighton, and Arizona. Two of those three were not true road games, but they were played on the road. And so Alabama's put themselves in a place playing these teams of this caliber, Sweet 16 Elite Eight caliber early on in the year. As a player and former college player, Britton, how advantageous are those games translating to what you're playing now when you're basically playing some of them again?
Yeah, I mean, this is my opinion, obviously, but I think if you want to be a program that consistently makes deep runs in the NCAA tournament, you have to play a really tough non-conference schedule because every conference has its own style of play and feel. And that style of play might morph over time. Certainly, since Oates has come to Tuscaloosa, I feel like the pace of play, the amount of three shot in the SEC across the league has just increased a ton. But it's still a similar style. SEC is always going to be a physical league. It's always going to be a physical league. But other leagues might have a completely different style. If you play a Big Ten team, Big Ten is way slower, way less athletic, way more controlling the pace, working through bigs. You have to be ready for that style if you're going to want to go on a deep run. You have to be ready for a Pac-12 style team. You have to be ready for an ACC style team. And so, if you're not getting good experience against quality opponents in the non-conference, you're telling me that you're not that interested. You might be interested in putting together a resume that can get you in the tournament, but you're not that interested in going on a run. And we're at a point now as a program where it's not a question of will we make the tournament anymore. That's an old question. That's a 5 years old question. Ever since Nate Oates has set foot on campus, since that second season, there's never been a doubt whether or not we're going to make the tournament. It's not a
Now,
question of how
there are
deep can we
programs
go.
that need to get to that level to where they're trying to get in the tournament every year. And that's, you don't go from not making the tournament or being a bubble team to being a Sweet 16 team, right? This, it's taken 3 to 5 years, but it's certainly now the expectation. Some of those programs out there, the scheduling for mid-majors and low power fives as well, they do have to do that. Alabama, like you're saying, is past that point.
Yeah, I mean, but our goal now is, hey, let's see how can we get past the Sweet 16? Can we? This is every year. Every year we're going into it saying, let's get to a Sweet 16 or farther. And so to do that, you got to play, and obviously we haven't even gotten into Alabama played some of the best mid majors in the country. Indiana State's fantastic. I mean, they are almost an at large. And you can keep going down the line of how many conference champions has Alabama played over the last 2 or 3 years? It's probably double digits. And so I think that all goes in because that's who you're going to play in the first round. It's teams like Indiana State, probably a little worse version of Indiana State, but it prepares you very, very well for that. Obviously, I mean, if I were Auburn, I'd be like, why are we not playing tougher competition? We haven't made a Sweet 16 in 5 years. Something we're doing is not adding up because we're having a good enough resume to get these good seeds, and we're not doing anything with them. And so I think a lot of it is who are you playing? Because you not only is it just like a feel thing, a style thing of you getting used to it, you are way more confident walking into a game against a team that you've played a similar team, or you've played a team that five different teams that you've played against have played, if that makes any sense. And so I think a lot of that feeds into the confidence you have in March. And this is a program, Alabama is now a program that is built for March success. And that aspires to March success. And anything less than that is unacceptable, which is unfair almost to an extent to Oates and what he's built, but it's just a reality. It's, hey, if we do it with Kentucky to this year and got bounced in the first round of each, this season would be a failure. Whereas if that happened 8 years ago, the season would be a massive success. So it's just the different stage of life of this program. And now we're knocking on the door of a Final Four. And if Oates gets to a Final Four, we might need to renegotiate again. We might need to renegotiate that contract and say,
I had the
Coach,
same
let's
thought
make you
last night.
the highest paid coach in college basketball.
Now, there are certainly bonuses that come into play for winning tournament
For
games
sure.
and stuff like that. I did think about, having signed that extension. Can you call another University Board of Trustees meeting and give him
Yeah.
just a little bit more if he's able to win Saturday night? Britton, give me one key to the game going into Clemson and the Elite Eight. Again, this is a what I believe 7:39 Central Time game Saturday night, and TBS if I'm correct on that, Alabama Clemson and crypto.com arena. Give me your one key to the game, and then we'll close this out with final words. And we want to remind everybody, we will be back with a post Elite Eight win or loss podcast Sunday. If Easter gets too busy, we'll have it Monday. But give me your key to the game for this Bama Clemson matchup.
I think a big key is the matchup with PJ Hall. And I don't know who we're going to try to match up with him, if it will be Pringle or Grant. But that's going to be a massive determinative factor in if we win or lose. And also just I still think rebounding and defense is going to be what wins us this game. If we revert back to the defense we were playing 3 weeks ago, we're going to probably get run out of the gym. If we play the defense we played last night, matched with the offense we've been playing, I think we'll be celebrating a trip to Phoenix very soon. So those are really the two things. I know that's saying defense is the most simplified key, but really just got to keep doing what we're doing. So we're playing, I think there's one team that's playing better ball than us right now in the country, just like straight up. And
Wait, wait,
in
wait. Let me guess. Let me guess. It's UConn.
yep, it's the Buzzsaw. And I don't know if y'all been
Wow. I
watching.
couldn't have seen that one coming.
9 straight wins of, was it 13 or more points in the tournament is otherworldly. And but if I was UConn, the one type of team that can beat them is in Alabama. And we'll talk more about that if that ends up being the matchup. But
Nate Oates and his relationship with the Hurley family comes into play once again.
So that'll be very fun. But anyways, those are my keys. I'm predicting an Alabama win in a Final Four berth. And it'll be really exciting if it happens. I
Give me
picked
the
it. Hey,
tide, baby.
I picked it. I picked Final Four. So, feel smart right
You're
now.
here. Might as well win it, right? Might as well win it. All
Might
right,
as well.
my last word is the Braves won 9-3 today on opening day, a delayed opening day for the Atlanta Braves. I'm not going to be one of those people that pretends on opening day like I follow baseball, but as I say every season, when the Braves win the first game, you can't win them all if you don't win the first. So 160 more wins to go for the Atlanta Braves. I will be tuned in for approximately maybe three quarters of one full game of those 161 remaining games until we get to October. The chase for October is always fun. Want to wish everybody a very happy Easter, celebrating Good Friday today and the death of Jesus Christ and resurrection on Sunday. We hope you all feel the love and power and strength of our Savior Jesus this weekend. I hope you celebrate and enjoy time with your friends and family, and remember that this is truly the greatest holiday on the Christian calendar. That's what I'm going to close with. And I will add a bonus Roll Tide at the end. Looking forward to Alabama in the Elite Eight for the first time since 2004. BJ, send us home.
Dude, I mean, how am I supposed to respond to that? That was so well said and succinct, and talked about the most important thing, and then you're going to probably swing it back to me and have me talk about Alabama again. But I'll say this. Alabama fans soak this in, man. Like, we can talk all day about this is the first and not the last, but you never know when you have another crack at this thing. So enjoy the next 36 hours. Hopefully enjoy the next week. Because this is just a really, really special time to be an Alabama basketball fan. So Roll Tide, and let's get a win over our rival Clemson. How about it?